time for Pass the Salt with the coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Just trying to get caught up here with myself. Trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do here on Christmas Eve day. Where we are, Christmas Eve. Took my grandkids last night to the zoo. Had a great plan. Thank God for smart wives and smart daughters. We went over, I mean, they were like, I'm not making it up, 35,000 people went to the zoo yesterday. We have, you know, the Columbus Zoo has the light show and all that kind of stuff. My daughter got pretty smart. She said, Dad, let's do this. Let's go about 3 o'clock. And then when it gets dark and all the lights come on and everybody be coming in, we'll leave. Wow. So when we were leaving about 5:30 or whatever it was, the line to come into that place is like, you can't even believe it. So I had a chance last night to go with the grandkids to the zoo on Christmas to see the animals. And then, you know, this is just something nice. There's something, what's the word I'm saying? Something magnificent about those big animals, you know? Big moose laying there. Buffalo. Great big polar bears. If you believe in evolution, you're a fool, man. You are a fool. And to walk around with those little grandkids. Hey, Jared, see if you can do this right now. I don't even know if you can do it, Jared, but you are the man of all men. See if you can find, Jared, a picture of an aquarium. An aquarium. Looking into an aquarium. If you can do that. I know you can. Because it came to me again last night at the zoo. And I wanted to just stand up on a bench and just tell everybody. I thought, boy, what a teaching moment this is. Maybe a picture of a Columbus Zoo aquarium, something like that, Jared. I said to my wife, this is sad. We went to the zoo, my wife and I, and our oldest daughter, Abby. And we left the babies home with the two little girls. We left them home with Maggie, our youngest daughter. And so we went to the zoo with four of us. And you know what? I couldn't relax the whole time. Afraid my grandkids are going to get lost, going to get snatched. I mean, we live in a crazy world, man. Just a crazy, crazy world. And I was thinking, if you wanted to do a terror attack, boy, that'd be a place to do it. I don't want to put that in anybody's mind. There's no security at the zoo. Pay your money, you walk in, you're just free to go wherever you want to. Every once in a while, you run into a guy with a walkie-talkie. But other than that, well, a lot of times sorry, Larry. Sometimes I wonder if some of this terrorism stuff isn't fake. Because so many soft targets. Just absolutely soft targets. And why more of those soft targets aren't hit, I don't know. So, Jared, did you get it up there for me? Because this is that teaching moment. Oh, there it is. Well, let me see. Oh, yeah. Jared, zoom in on one. That's okay, Jared. Let's see. Let's find one where we can zoom right in on one of those big old fish or something. A bunch of fish swimming in there. Because this kept coming up to me. So here it is, folks. I don't know if you can see it on your screen. This is us last night. I was sitting in front of the great big aquarium. Now, where I was sitting in front of the big aquarium, you could see the top of the aquarium. In other words, you could see the water line and those above it and those below it. I'm sorry I didn't have this, folks. I didn't have this queued up. It just hit me. And I was sitting there and I was pointing out to our grandkids, oh, look, there's a shark, and there's a bass. And I pointed it out to my grandkids. And then it just hit me again. It just hit me. Yeah, that's a good picture, Jerry, but it's in my image. I wish y'all could see it. Folks, I was thinking about all the teaching and all the training and all the stuff that we've been talking about in the spiritual world and all that's going on. And I'm looking in that any one of those pictures, okay, Jared, you're doing great. You're doing great. It doesn't matter. Just pull up one of them. Because I want people to get this image in their head, that they would see it. That all those fish, there's a good one. Look at all those fish, sharks, and everything that are swimming in that picture. And all the people standing there looking at him, taking, folks, that's the natural realm and the spirit realm right there. If God can make dimensions in the natural realm, think what he must be able to do in the supernatural realm. So what are you talking about, Coach? I'm talking about all those people standing outside it with those cameras, snapping pictures of those fish that are swimming in there. And folks, those fish don't even know we're out there. They can't see outside that tank. They're swimming in an aquarium tank, simply looking for something to eat. They do not know that there are hundreds of people standing outside the tank looking in at them. And I said, Lord, that's the spirit realm. That's the spirit realm. All these people on the outside want to get in. They want to get into where we are, see? We don't even know they're out there. But there's only one way. See, I can't get into that fish tank where those people are standing there. I can't get in there. I can't get in there with those sharks. Why? Because they're in another dimension, a water world that's built for them with glass, and they're encapsulated and encased in this world of water. They can't get out of there. But I can get in. I can get in there with them. Now, I can't live with them in there unless I have some special equipment or stuff like that, but I can get in with them. How do I get in with them? Mark Trump, you were on a submarine. I was with little David, and we went down into this aquarium, and right there was a fake, what do they call them? When you're in a submarine and you look at a periscope, there was a fake periscope. And what does the periscope do? The periscope takes your eyes from one dimension to another. It pokes a hole above the water so you can see outside into the other dimension that you can't see if you're just down in the water. Now, sometimes you go swimming. You go to the swimming pool and it's got good chlorine in, and you jump in. You can open your eyes and you can swim down there. You can swim and you can see, but when you get out, you're in another world. Am I making sense to anybody? This is it. This is exactly it. And we are those fish swimming in our tank. And folks, there's an invisible world around us. We're in a tank. We call it this natural world. But just as sure as I'm looking at those fish in the tank, there's another world around us we can't see. How do I get in there with those fish? I got to find an opening. I got to find a way to get in. And even though I get in there, I can't live in there on my own. I would have to have equipment. We're not made to live in that tank.
Hey, Coach.
What am I picking this up? This is so profound.
Amen. Amen. What if you're in Facebook? Some people live in Facebook. That's their entire world, and they are trapped. And guess what? They kick people out of the fish tank sometimes. Oh, Mike's show is about Polly being kicked out of the fish tank. Not being the spirit realm, the Facebook fish tank. But either way, it's a border. You're exactly right, Coach.
So if God can make this different realm, this different realm in the natural realm, Mark. Hey, folks, you do know this, don't you? The Bible talks about the heavenlies, not just heaven. The heavenlies, different levels, different dimensions. Rod Serling says a dimension not only salt, but a sound. Remember those Twilight Zone? Folks, we are living in a fish. We are the fish in the fish tank. We're the fish. And the demonic realm is on the outside of it, looking at us in the tank. And I could easily, if I could get to the right open, great, right access, I could impact every one of those fish swimming in that tank. And they would wonder, where did that come from?
Hey, Coach, sometimes that demonic world might be there in a restaurant, and we might be the trout in the tank, and the demonic world's just waiting for a chance to reach in, grab one of us, and put us on the grill and cook us up.
Amen.
That's exactly my point, man. Huh? The Bible says that Satan, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, look, folks. Woo, I got goosebumps. You look at that picture. And if you were, you know what? I could, last night, if I could have got access to that tank, I could have picked out any one of those fish I wanted to. They were sitting ducks. And I could have gone around like a roaring lion seeking which one of these fish I wanted to hook if I had access to it. Now, that comes back to the question we were talked about the other day when we had Zachary King on. How do you get access into that tank? Can those of us standing on the outside of the tank, can we get in the tank? I couldn't get in the tank. The only way that I could get into that water, there's a way in, but the only way that I could get in is I have to get access. Somebody has to grant me access to it. Somebody has to open up the door and let me come in, and I can jump in there and I can be in it. Wow.
No, Coach, the only way into an aquarium is from above. The only way into heaven is being born from above.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Let's put some bleach in the tank on our spirit body. Yeah. Some bleach, some LGBTism, maybe a sprinkle of abortion, a little bit of GMO, maybe some butt sex, and some, chemtrails. We'll just mix poison some chemtrails tank, huh? In the water. Yeah, well, isn't that what they're doing? They're holding us together so they can poison us as easily as possible.
Oh, the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. Folks, I don't know if all of you can pick this up or not. I wanted to jump up about five times last night and just start preaching. But I knew they wouldn't get it. I knew they wouldn't understand it. Folks, if we can stand outside of water and have a whole world of water, if you drive over any lake, Buckeye Lake, the ocean, there's a whole world under there. That's why I wish, Jared, I'm not complaining. I was sitting there last night, and I could see where the water stopped and the world began. You know what I'm talking about? You know how when you look into a glass, you can see where the liquid stops and then the glass continues? I was sitting there last night. I could see the top of the water. I could see the separation between the two dimensions. I could see the water, and then I could see the world. The water and the world. I could see them. I saw where they come together. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, man, this fish ain't got any idea we're out of here. All those kids are up there and they're banging on it and they're taking pictures. I'm thinking, you dummy, those fish don't know you're there. I said, Lord, that's us, isn't it? We're the fish. We don't even know they're there. Those demons are up there taking our pictures, seeking whom they may devour. By the way, it doesn't say that Satan is a roaring lion. It says, as a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. Not that he's a lion, but the way that he sets up his prey and goes after him. Oh, my goodness, right now. Hey, wherever you are, look around. There's another world around you. You just don't know it because you're living in a fish tank. And you can't see them looking at us. They're there. There's one. Man, maybe it's just me. Really, really, really impacted me last night. Really did. Those two worlds are coming together, folks. There's a merging going on of those two worlds. I don't think there is. But here's the takeaway. They can't get in unless you invite them in, unless you provide a way for them to get in. Those human beings standing right there, you're looking at that picture right now. Those human beings can't get into that water unless you provide a way for them to get in. By the way, human beings are far much more powerful than those fish. Smarter, everything. Those humans standing out there with their cameras, they don't have access to that water world unless somebody invites them in and provides a way for them to go down in there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. The weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Had to get that in there today. Anybody got a comment on that here on Christmas Eve? A lot of stuff. I came across something yesterday, something else. I said this to my daughter, Abby, last night as we were going in there. I said, Abby, how many wise men came to see Jesus? And she said, three. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traversed afar. Right? Three kings came. Wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Except there's one problem. The Bible never says that. The Bible never says they... Google it! I got it here somewhere. Hang on a minute. Oh, we sing songs about it. We talk about the three wise men and where they came from. Sorry, boys and girls. It don't say that. Where is it? Jared, go to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. So much we've been taught that's not true. So much we believe that we don't even research and dig out. So much stuff. Matthew 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in those days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east, and we're coming to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. They said, in a prophet in Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in thee, land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what the time star should appear. He sent them to Bethlehem. Who did he send to Bethlehem? Herod sent some wise men, says there, doesn't it? And he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again, that I might come worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great exceedingly joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. They didn't go back. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, arise, take the young child and your mother, get into Egypt, get out of here, yada, yada, yada. Folks, three wise men. First of all, they weren't wise men, they were spies. We know wise men came from all. Isn't it amazing how we make folklore, we make Bible history out of Disneyland? Disneyland makes our Bible history for us, don't they? Amazing. Wow.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
The gifts were a trick. In other words, if they're spies, they bring you something to kind of make sure you open the door and you'll let them in. Hey, I got you something.
Mm.
So the gifts, if they're a spy, they're not gifts to bring a king, right? Unless they're originally, they somehow corrupted themselves so that they were Jesus lovers that happened to be a double agent. Herod accidentally set Jesus lovers to find Jesus. Is that possible? I don't know. That's not in the Bible that way.
No, but we say three wise men, right?
Wow. Gold.
I'll be good. That's all I
said.
We even put on plays and everything that they went to the manger, but the Bible says they went to the home.
That's right. I mean, come on, man. Come on. It's just so good. Now, wait a minute, Larry. There probably were some wise men that came to the manger. Probably were. But not the ones Herod sent, taking gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, my goodness. So, Jared, keep that up there. Just kind of a feel good here this morning. There's 11 things that they tell us are in the Bible that aren't in the, that aren't in the Bible. 11 things that really aren't in the Bible. First one, Jared, it wasn't an apple in the garden. It wasn't an apple. No, it merely describes it as a fruit. We turn it into an apple. All right. We know this. It was food. It was something they should eat. As one of my friends said, food and not food. They ate something they weren't supposed to eat. We call it an apple. We don't really know that. Okay. Two, three wise men. Well, we just went through that. Number three, a whale swallowed Jonah. Well, that's all good, except that's not what it says. Huh? No, no. Bible never says it was a whale. It says it was a great fish. So we call it a whale. Maybe Jonah was just a tiny little guy. Number four, money is the root of all evil. That'd be good, except that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, right? All kinds of evil, in fact. 1 Timothy 6:10. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil. Different kind. Evidently, there's different kinds of evil. Number five, this too shall pass. Well, after being fired by the Chicago Bears, Mike Ditka has said, well, this too shall pass, except it's not true. It's likely Ditka and others have gotten it confused with the phrase, it came to pass. That appears 400 times in King James Version. And the sentiment of 2 Corinthians, at least he didn't quote Gandalf, who says he was quoting Jesus. Number six, cleanliness is next to godliness. These are all things we believe, right? Since the Old Testament contains a lot of rules about the ritual cleanliness, but this biblically sounding proverb is nowhere to be found. Number seven, God works in mysterious ways. What's one of those truisms? It is true, but it's not a Bible verse. Scripture is full of God doing things in unusual ways to us. Isaiah says, reminds us that God's ways are different from our ways. And as God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. But there's no biblical prophet that ever uttered the words, God works in mysterious ways. And then number eight, we worked on this one the other day. Love the sin, hate the sinner. No, love the sinner, hate the sin. That goes way back, but not quite biblical, 5th century. Augustine wrote a line which translates roughly with love for mankind and hatred of sin. Actually, it was Gandhi, practitioner of Hinduism, said hate the sin and not the sinner. And number nine, be in the world but not of the world. We're in the, well, the one, this one may surprise you, but the phrase is nowhere in the Bible. But as much as you may think it's an exact quote from the Sermon on the Mount, another verse, it's not there. Part of the sentiments are, though, however, expressed in various places in Scripture, John 15, John 17, Romans 12. Just don't try to find the word for word as a verse in your Bible. Number 10, God will not call, give you more than you can handle. Well, that sounds good, too. It's a result of some presumably well-meaning person trying to sum up 1 Corinthians 10:13 as a way of comforting a person who had, you know, had some bad stuff happen to him. 11, God helps those who help themselves. That's another good one, but that's not in the Bible either. What else is in there that we don't? What else is not in there that we believe? And why is there so many things that are clearly in there that we don't believe? Like homosexuality is an abomination. Why don't we believe that? Why do you want to believe stuff that's not in there and believe extra biblical stuff that's not in there? I got an email yesterday from a guy. I'm sorry, I hate calling him a guy. I got an email yesterday. Somebody asked me a great question. He says, Coach, you come on all the time, you're railing against homosexuality. He says, why don't you ever rail against lesbianism? And I stopped and thought about that. And he went on and put in his email to me. I'm sorry, if he's probably listening. He said, the most wicked people in America are lesbians. Women who invade where our children are. He says, you're talking about the sex act, and we all understand that. But he said, Coach, hey, Jared, go to my Facebook page and pull up that wonderful, wonderful picture that's right there on my Facebook page. And his brother cautioned me. He says, how come you're never talking about lesbianism? Lesbianism. There it is, Jared. Make that thing big. I posted this yesterday. Somebody sent it to me, and I put it up on there. You tell me what this says. Gay witches for abortion. Jared, you make that picture bigger and read what it says on the shirt of that girl. I'm sorry, bud. Yeah. Can you make that picture bigger? Yeah, that one right there. What does that shirt say? Jesus died for abortion rights. Is that what it says, Jared? Yeah, Jesus died for abortion rights. Look at her earrings. She's probably watching right now. She's probably watching and doing incantations and all that kind of stuff. Probably is. Gay witches for abortion.
The cows of Bashan.
What's that? The cows of Bashan. Hey, let me ask you something. Hey, folks, if you don't think there's a demonic connection here, if you were a lesbian and you could not have babies, why would you be for abortion? It doesn't even impact you. Abortion doesn't have, hey, listen. Hey, folks, lesbians don't get pregnant. Okay? They don't get pregnant. Why are they for abortion? I'm serious. Somebody help me out here. Come on in. Somebody come on in.
Well, Dave, they always argue that they could be raped. They could be raped, but I don't know.
Not exactly as most of them are.
It's a simple plan by Satan from the beginning, because God made man in his own image. Satan hates above all else that which is the image bearer of God. Therefore, if he can't kill them out of the womb and inside of the womb, then he perverts the mind that they do not reproduce the image bearers of God.
Dale, as you know, Flip Denham always taught it was a multi-fingered fist. Abortion, homosexuality, throw whatever one you want to. It's all
Islam.
All fingers of the same fist, intent on destroying all things righteous. That's what's going on, folks. That's what's going on. I had somebody, I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place this morning. You're welcome to jump in here at any time. And I had a realization hit me yesterday again. Golly, how you can see things and not see them. Do you have any idea during the 8 years of Barack Obama how much he diligently worked to, how do I say this in a nice way, to balkanize America? Did you ever notice how he would like to take all of these Muslim immigrants coming in and put them in nice, lily white communities? Why didn't they take the Muslims and put them in ghetto? Why didn't they take the Muslims and put them in the Hispanic name? Why did they take these Muslims that they brought in and put them right in the middle of lily white Christian America everywhere you looked? Boy, Right Wing Watch is going to have fun with that one. Call me a racist. I'm just asking the question.
Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, brother. That's the truth, isn't it? Isn't that the truth? We are going to look back on those 8 years of Obama as the most diabolical time in the American history. No, absolutely. Clear infiltration of the enemy into our nation, and we didn't even see it. And I've also often... Go ahead.
Sorry, Dave. I was just going to follow up on that. One of the things, too, where they were strategically placed, you're correct on that. But also, where exactly were they, most of these Muslim communities, placed? They were placed in Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, all yep. around the Great Lakes. Because who controls water controls life.
That's where they are. You're sounding racist now, Chad. You're starting to sound racist up there. Starting to sound racist.
They stuck over 2,000 of them down in southwest Missouri in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, and the next thing you know, they're elected to Congress, aren't you? Wow.
You know, Muhammad Ali was one of the great racists.
He was.
Muhammad Ali is the guy who said, listen, what does a black man want to do with a white woman? What would she have in common with me as a black man? You know, black men need to marry black women. That's basically what Muhammad Ali said.
Jared, Google that. See if you can find that on YouTube. Muhammad Ali on racism real quickly. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I got a question. If Jesus separated the disciples and sent them after certain demographics, certain demographics, there was segregation amongst the apostles that were sent. Mm-hmm. Specific groups of society were singled out to be given a separate message. Okay? That's the clearest form of organized segregation and filtering a message in our time. The Gentiles were given a completely different message than the original disciples put out. And it's because the Jews didn't have the Holy Spirit at the time, and the Gentiles didn't have anything. They didn't have law. They had nothing. So Jesus had to. So if we go into demographics, first of all, the demographics are where we look to go because they need Christ. So without segregation, we wouldn't be finding the lost. You know what I mean? And then when you go, you got to speak in their language. So if you don't know their language, whoever you're talking to, then you can't share the gospel. So learning a language, isn't that racism if you are trying to beef up on one culture? It's such a slippery slope. That's why it's so stupid.
It is stupid.
Everything you do. Everything you do. Profiling. Cops profile. Dudes without a bag. Do people with bags now get rights? Oh, people with hair gets rights. You know, you can't not hire someone in California if they got Jerry curls or earrings or tattoos. It's now a protected class in California.
How about God when he separates the two, the goats from the sheep?
Amen. There you go. There you go.
The goats to the left, the sheep to the right. That's why I don't understand the leftists. Do you not understand? You're the far left of God, and that's where you're going to be cast in an eternal fire.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The liberals tend to the left. I'll find that one in Scripture. So, folks, imagine this is Coach Dave saying what Muhammad Ali is getting ready to say here. I've played this several times on my show. This probably goes back to early 80s, maybe, mid-70s, this thing here. Imagine somebody saying this today. By the way, whose idea was it for tribes anyway? Huh? Who came up with that idea?
Hey, Coach, while you're looking for that, even a better one, Google search Eric Holder when he was being questioned by the Senate saying, "My people." Really? My people? What is that?
That's right. That's right. Well, they use it when it's convenient. Let's listen to Muhammad Ali here real quick. I'm sorry, Jared. You can pull that up here in a second. Let's listen to him. See if I could get away with saying this today.
People to move in the neighborhoods. We clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right,
been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, or no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters, and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, this is the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
But that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
We're much different.
That's, I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, bluebirds fly with bluebirds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen, tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell
we
me when I'm wrong.
Well, we should have
they don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Yeah. Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
We have the problems, too. I don't see no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand. Yeah, I do understand. I understand. But I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry them, but Catholics, they want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You're a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. Yeah, number one, can't no woman. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last, is a white woman. Can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music. And they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own.
Amen. Amen.
That is so profoundly honest, isn't it?
And I know.
Racism and this whole idea that everybody's the same is a social construct that is not true. I agree with everything he's saying there. Not in a racist way. Not in a racist way. And I noticed it last night as we were walking through the zoo. Really, without being judgmental, my eyes just work, right? The mixed families. It's obvious. You look at the baby and say, wait, what? Oh, there's that. Okay, I see. You guys with me? You with me? And see, this guy, the guy doing the interviewing, he's coming across as so much more righteous than Muhammad Ali because why? Well, he believes in everybody's. So he's much more righteous. See, that's the new religion, isn't it? That is the new religion. Social engineering is a new religion. I'll shut up. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, did you hear him? He said education bring you out of that. See?
Yes. Yes, he did, didn't he? Get your mind right, huh? Get your mind right, you'll get out of that stuff, right? Bluebirds hang with bluebirds. Eagles hang with eagles. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You don't see eagles. Sorry. You don't see eagles marrying buzzards, do you? You don't see it happening.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, right? And it doesn't have any idea with your dignity as a human being. And like he said, I don't know. And somebody help me out here. Maybe. I don't know. At the zoo last night, I don't think I saw one Oriental married to a black guy. I don't think. There may have been that. You don't see it.
Hey, Coach. They ought to put different kind of animals in the cages with different kind of animals and see what happens.
Now, Randy, there's too much common sense there, brother.
Well, Randy, I was actually even thinking last night when I was looking in the aquarium, all those different fish that are swimming in there together. But you know what, Randy? The guys who take care of the aquariums keep certain fish out of that aquarium, don't they? Because they know if they put the wrong one in there, he's going to eat everybody else. So they segregate even in the aquarium. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, I'm way off course today. Show this one, Jared. Show this one. Where is it, Coach? Where is it? I got to find it. And well, let's go up here. Oh, yeah, there it is. Hey, Jared. Rented evangelicals. Boy, I found this clip. I don't know if you'll find this on the Christianity Today has been deceiving Christians for how long now, right? And somebody said I was on some Facebook post last night where somebody says, "Oh, this is so sad. It's just causing division. Christians, can't we all just get along?" And I said, no, it's not causing division. It's exposing the division. The division's already there, folks. Those phony lefty Christians are already there. And what did we just read? The love of money is the root of all evil, right? No, all kinds of evil. The love of money. So watch this. This is a real, I don't think you'll find this anywhere. You better save it before they pull it down. Soros has rented evangelicals. How would he rent them? Probably with some contributions. Wouldn't you think maybe? Go ahead and play that, Jared. Accusations made in recent years that George Soros to American evangelical, he's been giving money to evangelical groups, spreading his doctrine, distorting the teachings of the Bible to press his agenda. George Soros has been renting evangelicals. Jared, I'm reading that for those who don't have it, or listen to my phone. So here's a disclaimer. We did not produce this video, nor are we associated with those who did. It was removed from YouTube for unknown reasons. We are reposting it for editorial purposes only. Please contact whatever if you have any questions. Don't contact me. I'm merely showing you the video.
To give the impression of the moral high ground, the Soros Network funds what they call evangelical and Catholic mascots to serve as surprising validators for their anti-Christian projects and candidates. Imagine the evil of using a Christian front to de-Christianize a culture and nation. In this video clip from the New America Foundation, an executive admits their rent an evangelical model of social change.
Doing a sort of rent an evangelical, as we used to call it on the national security side, rent a general model.
The network funds religious groups, including Jim Wallace's Sojourners, PICO, Faith in Public Life, Faithful America, Richard Cizik's New Evangelical Partnership, Telos, J Street, National Council of Churches, Evangelicals for Human Life, Catholics United, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, Catholics for Choice, and through the network's National Immigration Forum, they fund religious groups advancing open borders, amnesty, and voter registration for their new America. Are these groups transparent about the Soros Network funding? Not typically. In a 2010 interview, Reverend Jim Wallace, a longtime leader of this movement, was asked if his Sojourners was funded by Soros. Here is Reverend Wallace's response in his own voice.
No, we don't receive money from Soros. No, I mean, the financial crisis that non-profits are in, including us. Why is it he should call Soros and ask him to send us some money? No, we don't receive money from George Soros. Our books are totally open, always have been. Our money comes from Christians who support us and who read Sojourners. That's where it comes from.
Soon, grants from Soros to Wallace disappeared from the Open Society website. But when journalists found the money trail, Wallace was forced to admit the truth. Rather than advancing the whole counsel of Scripture as the highest love for people and culture, these useful ministers assist non-Christian policies, projects, and politicians with faith works, optics, organizing, and media to confuse Christian and other value voters, to recruit the church into their radical political agenda, and to help the left's politicians get elected.
Do you get the picture, folks? You understand what's happened? The left, the devil is so smart. They start all of these organizations, they give them nice sounding Christian names, they pump money into it, and then they pick leaders to run these organizations who call themselves Christians. And the whole time, these Christian organizations are being funded by George Soros and the left. Can you say Christianity Today? Can you say, dare I say it, Southern Baptist Convention that's gone far left? What was that thing that's in the Bible that's not really in the Bible? Oh, yeah. The love of money is the source of all kinds of evil. Crazy. Come on in. What do you think?
Can you say regime change? changing our culture.
Mm-hmm. Can you say Judas Iscariot?
Well, I don't even know if you can say that, Dale, because they probably weren't even real Christians to begin with, right? Right? And because we know the way... See, this is why I believe everything is moving so slowly in regards to justice in America is because many, many, many of the Republican politicians are being bought off in the same way. They make backroom dealings. Some guy says, hey, we'll drop, not only will I drop $2,500 into your reelection campaign, but look, I got a list here of 100 people who will drop $2,500 in your campaign. And they do it. And with a wink and a nod and a handshake, George Soros and his groups take over evangelicalism. Yes, sir.
Instead of the Christian world, the body of Christ, changing our nation, how about the body of Christ come out from among them, unify, and change ourselves first, and then possibly it could be used to change the nation. But until we do what we're supposed to, we can forget about changing our nation.
It's obedience. Jared, click on Illinois and homos. It's ever say, Coach, that's supposed to be a Christmas show. Says who? Says who? Turn on Bing Crosby. Go find White Christmas if you want to. Look at this.
And you said something about he's going to find the scripture where it calls out the left.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it's hard for me to do that and research at the same time. The Bible says, where's Pastor Ernie when I need him? The ungodly tend to the left.
Ecclesiastes 10:2.
The liberal tends towards the left. Somebody Google that. The liberal tends towards the left. It's right in the Bible.
Ecclesiastes 10:2.
Are you kidding me? Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Thanks, Randy. Did you know that? Did you know that's in the Bible? If you're a wise man, you're on the right.
Coach, we're also seated at the right hand of God, not the left hand of God.
Oh, daggone. Put it back up there, Jared. Illinois and homos. Who cares, well, though, right?
Too, you know, touching back on that, Muslims and they use their left hand for what? For toilet paper.
Oh, that's right. Did you guys know that? Did you know that what Chad is alluding to is when they go to the restroom, they clean themselves up with their left hand because they're not it's not sanitary. Illinois passes law forcing all state schools to begin teaching homos history to neutralize religion in the classroom. Folks, this is new news. This is new news. And why is the right not fighting against it? Because see, there's a false left raised up. There's a false left Christianity raised up. And what's the left saying? Oh, we have to love them. We can't discourage against them. We have to wipe out all this bigotry, this religious bigotry. We have to wipe that out of the minds of our children. See, this is where it's going on, man. And we don't get it. It's happening, right? They're renting evangelicals to destroy our educational system. They've done a pretty good job of it, haven't they? Robert, you ready to roll here on December 24th? Ready to roll?
Got something quick, Coach.
Sure, go for it.
They're looking at go ahead and let Robert go. It might take a minute. Yeah, go ahead and let Robert go. I'll throw it in the end.
All right, good.
Okay, we'll look at this.
Time out a minute. Hey, folks, Jesus wasn't born December 25th. No way. I could take you all through another lie in the Bible, that we think it's Jesus' birthday. Now, we suppose they are celebrating his birthday, but there is no way that it was in December. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, so there's a quote by Oz Guinness. The first duty of believers is to say yes to God. The second is to say no to idols. If we just do that, we'd save a lot of problems. Idolatry deprives, but the great I Am provides. David's devotion and reliance on his Lord is clearly seen in many of his psalms. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. You will make known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Right hand again.
That's right. It's your right hand. However, the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. Christians are called to be bright lights of the world, shining on those who walk in the world's darkness. They are to glorify their Father in heaven, the Father of lights. They are to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Unfortunately, more and more Christians are having their candles blown out by the ever-increasing winds of false and demonic doctrine.
Amen on that.
You mentioned that before, spiritual warfare.
Yep.
Too many love the world's presence and are amused by its idols to keep their lamps trimmed and their flask full of Holy Spirit oil. But to those who give themselves to God are persuaded of the scriptural promises. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for his all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Another promise, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Another psalm says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So there's no need to worry about experiencing lack, and it makes no sense to those who preach an enticing and false prosperity gospel. Instead, give attention to those who preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. Don't let a distorted prosperity gospel rob you blind. No. The devil always leaves you with loose change and counterfeit bills. The God of heaven endows you with eternal riches and true wealth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on the Wall Street.
Amen.
You can take that to the bank in heaven. Yep, serve the true God, not the false idols.
That's right. That's right. Remember that I talked yesterday about that first voice and that second voice. Come on in, Mark.
That's okay, Coach.
Oh, don't, okay. Well, cool. So anybody, help me, 7 minutes. I got some more stuff, something else I could throw on the table. Anybody got anything?
Well, to follow up on that, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. So let's just step off in a second. Now, you said something. Tammuz is what, T-A-M-M-U-Z, was the one that was born on December 25th. He is the son, the grandson of Cush. If you didn't know that.
Probably not as well as I should have. See, we have to realize this, folks. Whether we want to admit it or not, our two greatest Christian holidays are right up. Christmas has more to do with the winter solstice, December 21st. Christmas has more to do.
The celebration
of Christmas has more to do with that. And by the way, Easter has more to do with the sun and the stars as well. How do we know?
Follow it through. What's the winter solstice? It's the longest day of what?
Winter.
Darkness. Darkness.
Uh huh.
So what did God separate? Darkness. So I think they're associating signs, even seasons and moon things, mm-hmm. because the moon is of Tammuz, Chad, just like you nailed it. He's a moon god. Fertility. Sex.
So what is Easter then? What is Easter? How do you know? I know Christmas is December 25th. When's Easter? Does anybody know what day is Easter? No? You don't?
No, why? Well, on the moon side.
Yeah, that's right, because it's the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the winter equinox. Right?
See, really, if it was the resurrection, it would be the same day of the year every year, Christmas is.
So again, we've mixed paganism in with our Christianity. That's exactly what we've done. Now, we We don't have to get mad about it. We don't have to fight over it. It's just a sad reality. The 21st,
and
Christmas is around the 21st, the longest day of darkness. Easter is around the longest. Anyway, go ahead.
Why does Santa run around saying ho ho ho? Another deception, Coach. I just put that in the chat. Zechariah 2:6 or something.
Jared, put that up there. Zechariah 2:6. Mark showed me this the other day, about blew me away.
Now, if that's not enough, look what it goes with. He's telling his people to come out of the land of the north. This is whenever he's talking to the northern tribes, I believe. But of all places, the north. Where's Santa that says ho, ho, ho?
Verse 6. Santa wasn't the first one to say ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, come forth. And flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord.
The north.
The north. North Star.
North Pole. Santa Claus. Bunch of elves. Bunch of Nephilim reindeer and abominable giants and stuff. Come on. Wake up, people.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My...
So I got a question. So whose bright idea was it to mix these pagan traditions and put the mess of Christianity on it to begin with?
Well, the point is, Gary, why do we believe these things without researching these things?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger point, right? Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because they taught me to celebrate Christmas. In fact, folks, Christmas can't be a Christian holiday, or the world wouldn't be promoting it so much. The world can't wait to promote Christmas.
It's more intimate.
They start Christmas in November.
Yeah, how did the church end up with Christmas being December 25th being celebrated, the birth of Jesus? I don't think it can be proved definitively, but I think there's pretty good evidence that way back in the early Romans, when that first Caesar, you know, Augustus or whoever it was, went to Christianity and everything, at one point the Christians wanted to celebrate the birth of their Christ. But they wanted to do it where they wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb, so they'd get thrown to the lions. So they coincided their celebration with a pagan celebration that was going on, and they piggybacked on it.
Well, Larry, how about we just look at Thanksgiving? Look what Thanksgiving has become, right? Look what it's become.
We're capitalists. We are capitalists.
I'm glad you brought up, too, about Thanksgiving. See, why is it that we go from Halloween in the stores, and then suddenly it shifts automatically right over to Christmas?
Yep.
Okay, there's no advertising for Thanksgiving. You know why? Because that's an American holiday, and that's exactly what they're trying to purge from the American society. It's from being an American and having pride.
That's right. America. Yeah.
America.
Go America.
I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't listen to this show, I'd listen to it. I'd find a way to listen to it. Because every day when this show is over, man, oh, man, my mind is racing. I just want to know the truth, don't you? I just want to know the truth. I want to know why I'm believing what I'm believing. And if it's not true, I don't even believe it. Come on, man.
These traditions are so deep, and they're no longer associated with the world, is what I'm saying. See, whenever they raise children up in Islam, they don't got to teach them to fight Americans when they're adults. They've bred it into them when they were young. Our grandparents had it bred into us. Mm-hmm. Then our parents. This is what it is. You're against your family traditions. You're not against the world. And then your family traditions are part of a peer group. So if you don't do that tradition, like I don't have lights decorated, so I could be grumped on, you know? And in the schools, your children are being grumped on because they don't wear their dingling bell hats every day and stuff.
Amen. That's all good. Listen, I'm not going to do a show tomorrow. It's the first day we've missed. Sorry, Roger. I'm going to give Jared a day off. I'm going to sleep till 6 o'clock, and we'll see you here on what day would that? Oh, listen, Dr. Vieira, Friday. There's a miscommunication. We had a miscommunication. He's going to be here on Friday. He's going to talk about again the militia and the phony money, huh?
Dave.
Why did we ever start thinking that a dollar was a piece of paper? How'd that ever happen to us? Yeah, Roger.
I don't like somebody who messes with Christmas tradition.
Well, go listen to Joel Osteen. He'll be doing something tomorrow morning. He'll make you feel happy.
All right.
God bless y'all. Have a great time together with your family. Jesus is, no matter what they've done to us, Jesus is in the midst of this season. Let's put him in his rightful place. And let's come together as families and worship and serve our creator, not Walmart. Huh? God bless it. We'll see you in a couple of days.